Yeah, she gave me a lovely introduction yesterday and another one today. I'm on a roll. So, I have no disclosures. Women's health clinicians, researchers, and policymakers have had high hopes that expanding health care coverage under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act will improve the health of U.S. women by requiring coverage, increasing access to affordable health plans, incentivizing utilization of high-value services, establishing benefit mandates, and reducing cost sharing. The ACA is expected to improve the health outcomes and reduce health disparities as well. But since the ACA began, as we all know, it's been clear that the public's participation in its programs and benefits has been compromised at times by widespread confusion. So recognizing that the ACA can only have an impact on women's health if women are aware of the available benefits to them and then act upon them, we sought to examine women's awareness of and attitudes toward the ACA. So specifically, we were interested in understanding whether women are aware and approve of the ACA and the women's health benefits attributable to it, whether women expected their coverage to change for women's health services and subsequent use of those services as a result of the ACA, and then whether women's attitudes and awareness differed across different socio-demographic groups. So we drew upon data from the Women's Healthcare Experiences and Preferences Study, which is a study that we conducted specifically to understand women's healthcare experiences and preferences. It was a cross-sectional, population-based internet survey of U.S. women ages 18 to 55, and this survey was also fielded by GFK, or formerly Knowledge Networks, which Rachel kindly described for me, in September 2013. So I would say, disclaimer, things have improved a little bit, but keep in mind that I think the findings are still relevant. But in any case, from the existing panel, GSK's existing panel, women were randomly sampled for our participation in this study. And so we were interested in English-speaking women ages 18 to 55. And so of about just over 2,000 that were invited to participate, 1,078 completed the survey. Then we applied sampling weights, which GFK provides, to bring the sample in line with national demographic benchmarks. And so here we use weighted proportions, chi-square, and multivariable logistic regression to describe associations between sociodemographic background characteristics and women's ACA awareness and attitudes. So the larger Women's Healthcare Experiences and Preferences Survey included a whole range of questions focused on women's reproductive histories, their health histories, their prior experiences with health service use for a whole range of different types of women's health-related services. We asked a series of questions about their preferences for care, including questions on integrated models of care, and then a whole other host of psychosocial characteristics, attitudes toward reproductive health policy, et cetera. And a series of items ask about women's ACA awareness and attitudes. So first we ask women whether they had ever heard of the Affordable Care Act, sometimes referred to as Obamacare, whether they believed that their insurance coverage would change as a result of the ACA, and we asked that for different types of women's health care services, how they expected those changes would affect their own use of those health services, what effect the ACA would have on their ability to get preferred care, which we defined as the care that they would most like to have, and then finally, overall, whether they agreed or disagreed with passage of the Affordable Care Act. So you can see here on the left, the overwhelming majority of women had indeed heard of the ACA, but then only 24% of women expected their insurance coverage to change as a result of the ACA. Among women who then expected their coverage changes and reported that those changes would affect their service use, over half did not intend to use more services, and 17% did not know how coverage would affect their own use of services. Few women, in fact, 14% overall, believed that the ACA would improve their ability to get their preferred type of health care, and 44% reported that they that it would not improve their ability, and 42% didn't know. And then finally, a third of women disagreed with the ACA overall, and nearly half reported that they didn't know how they felt about the ACA. So here are the results for expected coverage changes for different types of women's health care services. And so you can see in the yellowish bars, which represents don't know was a common response for all specific types of coverage change. So including preventive health care, women's health exam, which we define as pap pelvic, breast exam services, even contraceptive services, and the highest was for mental health services. And I don't show these data, but like the overall sample, around half did not believe that the ACA changes would impact their use of these services either. So I apologize for how busy this slide is. I struggled with how to present these data. But let me just walk you through it. So basically, women's ACA attitudes and awareness varied by nearly all sociodemographic characteristics that we examined. So for example, here on the left, forever heard of ACA. Compared to their counterparts, the proportions of women who'd ever heard of the ACA were higher among older women, white women, college-educated women, and those with higher incomes. Additionally, women with college education and higher incomes also had higher proportions of expecting coverage changes and agreeing with the ACA overall. However, minority women also had higher proportions of believing that the ACA would improve their ability to get their preferred care and agreeing with the ACA overall. But I think most importantly, I would point you to the don't know columns and the majorities of women who just didn't know how the ACA would impact their own situation. Here's the same table, but for a different set of sociodemographic characteristics. So proportions of women, again, who'd ever heard of the ACA were higher among privately insured women and women with histories of recent health service use, and including those with histories of prescription contraceptive use. Women with private insurance also had higher proportions of expecting coverage changes. And then we looked at political parties. So Democratic women and then non-religious women also had higher proportions of agreeing with the ACA. Uninsured women had higher proportions of believing the ACA would improve their ability to get their preferred type of care. So here are the multivariable results, and generally these show the same trend. So a similar set of factors was associated when we controlled for everything simultaneously. So educational attainment, income level, insurance status, political party affiliation, and recent health service use were all associated with the outcomes. And of course, political party was the strongest determinant across all of the models. So I think that there's several important take-home messages here. The majority of women in our study had negative or uncertain attitudes about the ACA and lacked understanding of its women's health benefits. They didn't know how the ACA would impact their own coverage and then use of women's health services, including well-woman and contraceptive services, which, as we know, are the types of care emphasized by the ACA. Second, we also found sociodemographic disparities in ACA awareness, mostly with less educated, poor women and uninsured women reporting less understanding of the ACA than socially advantaged women. And then this trend was also noted among infrequent users of health services. So essentially, these are the same groups of women that we all know experience disparities in outcomes. And in other words, these are the women who might benefit the most. They apparently have the least amount of awareness about the ACA. And then finally, a political party, again, was the strongest determinant as expected. So in the paper, we talk about a few implications, the idea that perhaps, and I think that we've, like I said, I think that we have made some progress in this even since this study was conducted. But nonetheless, we could benefit from tempering our expectations about the ACA's potential for an immediate and broad impact on women's health, because women's understanding of the ACA is a prerequisite of improved utilization and then subsequent outcomes. Also, the ACA can't reduce health inequalities if the groups of women who could benefit from the most have the least understanding of it. And as we all know and have heard about today and yesterday, delivery of women's health services is uniquely influenced by broader social and political norms and agendas, which will certainly continue to play a major role in ACA implementation and impact. Thank you. Well, that was back here. Yes, so we said the Affordable Care Act, and then we said otherwise known as Obamacare. It's possible, and we struggled with that, and we didn't originally have it in there. And we looked upon questions that Kaiser had used to give us some guidance on wording of all of the questions, as well as some other policy-related questions. We were fearful that at that point in September 2013, we were fearful that women wouldn't even know. I mean, many of them didn't know, but at least they'd heard of it. And I guess I'm hopeful that the response to that question is more accurate, but potentially the responses to the other questions might be influenced. I'm not sure. That's a good, interesting question, though. Yeah. So less support for Obamacare.
Yes. and I actually, I'm on a tear with everybody. I want to help most of the students not to use the term Obamacare. I don't say it out loud usually because I think it gives the impression that you're purchasing something from Obama or from government, which is the biggest misunderstanding of it, that in fact you're purchasing private health insurance.
Right. Exactly.
The very people who need it least and for whom, for the most part, it doesn't change their lives.
Exactly.
But yet, those are the ones that the Anti-Affordable Care Act forces have really focused on to try to get those people to say, I want to lose my care. And
right.
You're really the ones who are not being impacted. You know.
That's right. And
to me, I think that's the most
That I think so too, and that's what we talk about in the paper. And I would say that, again, we have to remember that even though this is a national sample, it's the same issues with sampling bias that Rachel talked about, and so these women are disproportionately privately insured and are disproportionately higher income and higher educated. So that certainly impacted our results here. But in any case, with that particular question, we really wanted to know if women had heard of it just altogether. So even though Obamacare is a loaded term, I think it probably got us a more accurate response to knowing if women had heard of the whole health reform idea.
I think it's interesting to think about the contraceptive benefit because it is not true that in this case, privately insured women were better off before. They were actually worse off than Medicaid.
Right.
The people who are really benefiting from the contraceptive coverage are women with private insurance. And so did you try to tease out the contraceptive benefit because it has this odd relationship to insurance status?
Yeah.
So very different from anything else we've ever had.
We did a bit. For this sample, and I struggled. We wanted even younger women, but this sample was a bit older, and so many of them weren't even sexually active in the last 3 months. But yes, and so we were very. I looked at a whole series of contraceptive variables, and even unintended pregnancy history, and all kinds of reproductive history things to understand whether the women had experiences with contraception recently, like the prescription contraception use within the last 3 months or last year question, as well as lifetime use, and those weren't really related to women's attitudes, and so. No, in this sample, and I don't have good explanations for it, the trends were the same for all types of care, generally speaking.
Yeah,
But I am familiar with the new Kaiser stuff, and I do think it's important. I wish, I'm sure Rachel can agree, I wish there were more women that had been on Medicaid. I mean, the number of women who are on Medicaid or uninsured in this sample is so low. So it's not really reflective of their experiences. But and we weren't, because there was only 5 questions, we weren't able to get a nuanced, sort of a nuanced understanding of the perceived specific changes within contraceptive coverage. It was kind of a vague question. No, but that's interesting. No. No, this was actually an add-on set of questions to the larger study, and I'm really glad we've got multiple papers out on it now, so I'm really glad we did it. But and Vanessa Dalton, my co-author, is very interested in this topic, as well as Mark Fendrick. But no, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a multi-layered question. Interestingly, across the board, the negative responses were really negative, and then the other responses were sort of diffused across agreement and then don't know. And then actually, I didn't even mention, part of embedded and don't know, there's also neutral, and I didn't show that adequately here. But so women were overwhelmingly neutral or don't know. And then what was the second part of the question? Oh, we talk about that a little bit in the paper. Well, you can imagine if you're getting your information from some sources that we all know some parties like to use, and then some other sources which our other parties like to use, I think there is a different set of information and sort of education. We have another paper looking at this and policy attitudes and religion, and so we talk a lot about the media's role or the importance of the media's role in shaping knowledge and awareness and attitudes. But it's a big, I think, challenge. But yes, in general, to answer your question. Thank you very much.